It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Felger and Maz. Mike's out today. Adam Jones is in. Marshall Hook here to give us headlines. Murray's out too. Jimmy, how did I get sucked into this again? Like, I'm the only regular guy on the show that sticks around and does shows during the week. I mean, aside from you and Billy, of course.
I don't know. The last couple times I was in, you weren't here.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't seem to recall that, Marco.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
that's... Just my 2 cents.
Yeah. Burned through all that vacation time already.
As a thing, though, I think that you or Mike should always be here. One of you two should always be here, with the exception of, like, Christmas time.
Mm. Hmm. Well, then that same should be true of you and Billy back there, Jimmy. No,
and that is for all except one day of the year.
Really? What day is that?
It's usually August 30th.
Wait, what's that?
What is it?
Like SummerSlam or something?
It
just happens to be a day that we always take off.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's true. Look at the past few years.
I'd have to look and see whether or not you or Billy's always here every day. That doesn't feel right to me.
The IRR can't have to be on the night show? Is that a rule of the night show as well?
It should be.
One of us always has to be there?
It should be.
Like a rumba.
But whereas everybody has like 6 weeks vacation time and never ends up that way.
Night show's screwed tonight in your scenario.
I can tell you, my real place of work, they do have rules in place about the on-air people, and only X number of them can be gone at one time.
I don't like it.
I hate those rules. I think those rules are stupid.
Yeah, I don't like it one bit.
For example, on Friday, Hook and Ted Johnson are here. There's no representation of Felger or Maz.
As was last Friday, by the way, Hook and Ted Johnson here.
Well,
if
that happens to affect the ratings and therefore the bonus structure, we'll take it up at that particular time. we'll do it then at that moment.
I think we're okay.
Celtics are out in, is it Vegas at the summer? I can't lie to you. Jones, you're a big basketball guy.
Yes, Vegas. Yes.
I couldn't give a rat's ass.
Yeah, UNLV, Thomas and Mack Center. Yep, Vegas.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, really, I could not give two craps about the NBA Summer League. Although, from what you tell me, Taco Fall apparently is one of the stars out there right now. Is that right?
Yeah, people are idiots. Yeah.
We'll get to Taco Fall in a minute.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens did speak with the media out there. Apparently, Brian Robb, who's still a contributor here at 98.5 The Sports Hub, now works for the Boston Sports Journal, for Greg Bedard's site, sent in some sound last night, and you've seen some of the comments today and heard them as well. Brad Stevens was asked about Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, the departures of those players, all the changes the Celtics have undergone. And look, there have been a lot. We know. And Stevens is now sort of in the crosshairs a little bit, because I think one of the buzzwords with the Celtics this offseason has been culture. They want to get their culture back. This is sort of the whole theme. So I don't know about you guys. I heard these comments and something stuck out to me right away when I heard these two comments. So we're going to play them for you in succession, and then you tell me whether or not you heard the same thing I did. First, Stevens was asked about the departure of Kyrie Irving, the whole Kyrie experience. Basically, here's how it went.
I enjoyed Kyrie. I like Kyrie, and I wish him nothing but health and success. I think any time that you go through a year like we went through, where you don't necessarily meet expectations, on some years that might be a good year, but on others it's not. I think there's probably going to be some change, and I don't fault him one bit for choosing to follow whatever he wants to do. That's his right.
Okay, so that feels pretty generic, right? You know, play it straight. Don't criticize the player, blah, blah, blah. You know, Kyrie is a right. He's a free agent. He does what he does. Here's what Steven said on Al Horford.
Al was great here. We loved Al. We wanted him back. But, again, it's his choice. Like, he can go do whatever he wants to do. And there's a lot of factors that end up helping these guys make those decisions. But, you know, he's a heck of a player and did a great job here in the 3 years he was here.
Okay, anything strike you about those comments?
Yeah, one guy they wanted back and did a lot of great things. The other guy, well, it's up to him. He can do it.
So same thing with me.
Yeah.
I mean, it stuck out to me right away. And look, if Kyrie Irving said he wanted to come back, do you think the Celtics would have taken him?
Yes.
Okay, Hook, do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but I think what they're telling you there's parts of him we're not going to miss. There are parts of him we're not going to miss at all. Isn't it striking that he said that about Horford and he didn't say it about Kyrie? Again, he's asked about Horford. Oh, we love Al. We love everything about Al. We wanted Al back. Kyrie? Jimmy, play the beginning of Kyrie again if you would. I'm sorry to throw that at you on the fly here. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I enjoyed Kyrie. I like Kyrie, you know, and I wish him nothing but health and success. You know, I think any time that you go through a year like we went through where you don't necessarily meet expectations, on some years that might be a good year, but on others it's not. You know, I think there's probably going to be some change, and, you know, I don't fault him one bit for choosing to follow whatever he wants to do. That's his right.
I mean, again, really sort of dispassionate. It wasn't at all personal. You know, even the comment, yeah, I love Kyrie, you know, I'm okay with Kyrie. You know, it didn't feel honest or earnest. But when he talks about Horford, the first thing he says.
Al was great here. We loved Al. We wanted him back. But
boom.
Wanted him back.
Boom. We wanted him back. Kyrie?
We wish him health.
Well, we would have taken him back. I mean, if he wanted to come back, we would have taken him. Al, we wanted. Horford, we wanted back.
Well, he even said they accomplished some great things with Al.
I mean, he didn't say that with Kyrie.
Well, I mean, they definitely didn't. So, I mean,
again, it's his choice. Like, he can go do whatever he wants to do, and there's a lot of factors that end up helping these guys make those decisions. But, you know, he's a heck of a player and did a great job here in the 3 years he was here.
I mean, this is your guy. This is G. Willikers Jones.
Yeah.
For him, that's a slam at Kyrie. For him.
Yeah. I feel like I still kind of have one eye on the organization where he's playing the game up there. And I honestly didn't pick up on that until you told me to listen. You're like, hey, listen and see if you catch anything. I didn't pick up on that kind of reading through it and just kind of listening to it. I thought it was pretty boilerplate, to be honest. But I know this organization knifed Kyrie in the back on the way out the door, so they can say whatever they want publicly and try to keep it nice about Kyrie. But regardless of what Brad Stevens said there, I think we already know how they feel about Kyrie with some of the stories from Jackie McMullen and elsewhere.
So all I'm saying is that for Stevens...
That may not be Brad, but yeah, no, that's pretty critical for old G. Willikers.
I just think for Stevens, that qualifies as a slam.
Yeah.
It does. He sounds like he's gushing about Horford. Kyrie, I don't know, that just sounds like your standard comment in a press release.
Well, yeah, no, the talented guy they don't want back. They want the guy who comes in and throws crisp bounce passes and sets good screens. That's who fits in the Butler offense.
I love it.
Yeah.
Ryan's on the Cape, has a prediction for the Celtics this coming season. What do you got, Ryan?
What's up, guys? So I was just wondering that what you guys think. I think this new Celtics team this next season is going to be better than last year. I don't think Kyrie fit great in Boston. I don't think he was a great leader in Boston. And I think that Kemba is going to do better things for us than Kyrie could ever.
Okay, Pac-Man, go. Why are you chuckling?
Well, just how many of these are we going to get? Like, you guys have gotten a lot of these phone calls, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kemba suddenly is now better than Kyrie, or he's going to be a better fit here than Kyrie. Could they win more regular season games? Could they even make it a little farther in the playoffs? I guess. But I've heard you say this. You know, their ceiling's been lowered. So, I mean, I guess you got to talk yourself into whatever you can to sleep at night. But this idea that Kemba is Kyrie is just stupid.
But is that second thing, because you said two things, that he'll be better or that he'll be a better fit here. That second thing, I think, is you don't think that second thing is
true? No, I mean, he might be easier for his teammates in the locker room, but their ceiling is not very high. No.
But that's two different things. Like, I'm taking exception to the fact that you seem to laugh at the notion that Kemba Walker will be a better fit with this team.
If you're out in the second round either way, what's the difference? One's a more enjoyable team, but either way, you're out in the second round. And your ceiling's high, and you could be a championship contender if everything clicks.
Except that
Kemba,
when this team was in the playoffs without Kyrie Irving, they went all the way to, you know, one half game from the finals.
The third round, sure.
Okay, that's fine, but they did better without him than they did with him.
Nope, and that's
they
all
did,
true.
They did that with Terry Rozier, and now they have Kemba Walker. So listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Kyrie Irving's not a better player in a pure, you know, player-to-player comparison than Kemba Walker, but I don't think you need to dismiss the notion that this team might actually be a better team find more success
that team's
with
a good
this
analogy.
Particular player.
That team's a good analogy. That team had no chance at winning a championship, so that's a good analogy for this one.
Yeah, with Kyrie, neither did last year's team.
Well, with Kyrie, I think you have a chance. If everything clicks, they weren't close last year, but if everything clicks, you have a chance. If it's Terry Rozier or if it's Kemba Walker, you don't have a chance.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
I got to tell you, you already saw what the team with Kyrie Irving looked like. It was a guy who didn't care.
Yeah,
and a team
there's
that
other
most
teams
100%
with,
didn't click.
There's other teams with Kyrie Irving that, you know, went to the finals and won championships. So,
okay, there's one.
Yeah.
And that team had LeBron
James.
No,
there were a bunch of teams that went to the finals. There was one that won a title, and he hit the biggest shot in that series, one of the biggest in the NBA finals history. So, look, I think he was a good fit here. No. Am I sick and tired of his crap? Yes. But comparing Kemba Walker to him is a little ridiculous, because who was doing that last year when Kyrie was here?
Marshall, what's the goal? Is the goal to win a championship or to like him better?
Well, I think those two things can actually be combined with this. Listen, by the way, I don't think the Celtics with Kyrie Irving had a chance to win a championship. I don't think this team with Kemba Walker and Taco Fall and the French guy, I don't think they have a chance to win a championship. All right? But what I'm telling you is, if I can take a snapshot of the last 2 years, I can tell you the team that had Kyrie Irving, particularly in the playoffs, boy, that team really, really sucked. The team that also didn't win a championship the year before got a hell of a lot closer and looked a lot more like a team.
That's true.
And they still fell short of a championship. They both did. But one of them fell a hell of a lot shorter than the other one. And one of them looked like, you know what, if you had that team from 2 years ago and put that team into this coming season, and they could play the way they did 2 years ago in the playoffs in this coming season, then that team might win a championship.
Marshall, the 2018-19 Celtics, if they did not have chemistry issues, could they have won the title?
Yes.
Okay, so you acknowledge that?
Yeah, 100%. They had the talent to do it. They 100% had the talent to do it.
Right.
That talent couldn't get along.
Does this Celtics team have the talent?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Not in this NBA. No.
So you acknowledge then that the ceiling with the other team was higher?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I disagree with the notion that this team, that you are as dismissive of as you appear to be, that this team cannot actually work together as a team and find more success relative to last year's team with Kemba Walker in the place of Kyrie Irving.
They might be able to make an Eastern Conference final. Maybe.
Yes.
I that's their ceiling. The ceiling last year was a title. So that,
no,
that's
no,
where,
the
that's
ceiling where, last, well, the ceiling, right, I guess the
ceiling was a title.
The reality was way shorter.
Sure, that's sure. But teams, I mean, what was the ceiling for the Warriors last year? They didn't win at all. What was their ceiling?
Yeah.
They could have won. So, I don't know. I had the Celtics in that mix. The Celtics should have been the best team in the East. They weren't, but that was their ceiling. This team's ceiling is considerably lower.
Yeah, Marshall believes in the culture. He believes in the culture. You know who else believes in the culture? Brad Evans and Danny Ainge. We'll tell you why. That's next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, sometimes it's not about, if it doesn't work, it's not because guys aren't good guys. Everybody in that locker room was well-intentioned. Everybody's a good guy. And we didn't fit. And I think that that's part of it. Sometimes that happens. I think that anytime you have a relationship, it doesn't always fit together. So I don't have anything bad to say about anybody, and I don't want to make it look like by saying that it's become a priority all of a sudden that it wasn't before. It's always been.
Brad Stevens talking about the culture in the Celtics. Always been a priority. Don't want to say that it wasn't before. The pieces didn't fit. You know what part of the comment really bugs me more than any other?
What's that?
The beginning.
Okay.
Everybody in there is a good guy. No, we're all good guys. They're all good guys. It just didn't fit. There was no bad guy in there. And again, bad guy's a relative term. I'm not telling you there was anybody in there holding up liquor stores. Okay, I'm just telling you that bad guy is sort of in the sports world can sometimes be the selfish guy, the divisive guy, the guy who's a complete pain in the ass. He's just not a team guy. He's not a good guy.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, I'm using sports terms there. Was Kyrie a good teammate last year?
Not at all. Not at all.
So this is sort of where the Stevens, to use your term, Jones, becomes G. Willikers.
Yeah.
Like everything's good. Everything's fine. It's Pleasantville. No problems. Still coaching Butler University. You know, everything's fine. Everybody's happy. We had a bunch of good guys in there. There were no bad guys. Kyrie was divisive last year.
And it goes beyond Kyrie. So Rozier did his whole media blitz after the season. And Rozier at various points this year bitched about, you know, his playing time and his role. He did it in season. He certainly did it after season. I think Marcus Morris kind of is a good example of the selfishness that took place on last year's team. Everybody was about themselves. Marcus Morris is in the process of backing out of a deal with San Antonio. And the way the NBA cap works, and you know it's convoluted, they had a bunch of moves built off this. You know, they created cap space for Marcus Morris based on other moves that they made. And now Marcus Morris may weasel out of that deal and go to the Knicks instead on a one-year, call it $15 million deal, instead of $220 million, because he thought his market was soft and he thought he was worth more money than he ended up getting from San Antonio. So he weaseled out of a deal and now is going to New York. Like, That I think is representative of the whole team. I know it's just Marcus Morris and he's much lower in the pecking order and much less of a problem child than Kyrie Irving, but I think everybody on the team last year in some ways, maybe save for like Horford and Smart and Baines.
Me.
Yes. Morris is worried about his market and how he fits into it and how many touches he gets, because that's going to impact his free agency. And Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum want to be all-stars. And Gordon Hayward's trying to reestablish himself as an all-star. And Kyrie Irving, we all know, wants to do his thing. Like, the whole team wanted that last year. Rozier wants to be Scary Terry and be a starting point guard. It was just about everybody on the team, save for a handful of guys. Morris, Rozier, Kyrie, take your pick. They were all like that.
How much of that do you put on Stevens?
Most of it. I mean, you have to be able to, I think, you know, set some boundaries. And some of this is on Ainge, too. I think Ainge put Stevens in a tough spot because he almost had too many guys, too many mouths to feed. We talked about this during the year, too. Ainge should have subtracted from that team. I thought Rozier and Morris were two obvious ones. You didn't have to get rid of both. You should have got rid of one. That would have made things easier on Stevens. There weren't defined roles. It changed all the time. Who's starting? Who's off the bench? Some of that was a little more set in stone as the year went on. How many minutes are you getting? Who's a primary option? Like, those all became issues on the team last year. And I think they were issues from pretty early on. All of that's on Brad.
So I just, look, the Celtics generally have good values. They're a well-run organization. They generally have their hearts in the right place. All that stuff. Okay, all that stuff. But this idea, how can they tell us out of one side of their mouths, basically, that they have a culture problem, and then on the other side say we don't have any bad guys? Well, wait a minute. Then what the hell did you need to get rid of some of them for?
Well, maybe he's using bad guys the same way you were referencing earlier. We don't have any criminals on the team. We just have some moody. Maybe that's where he has some leeway with bad guys.
Yeah, in pro sports, selfishness makes you a pain in the ass and divisive. That's what it does. Marshall, you like to...
And dare I say that maybe he just doesn't want to crap on the guys who are already gone, because, you know, then you guys attack him for crapping on the guys that are already gone. I mean, do you really expect him to get out there and say, yeah, actually, I got to tell you, you know, he was a bad dude and he was no good in the locker room. And that Morris fella, he was really no good in there either. None of them did any favors for our
kids. But he already kind of said that.
See, okay. He could have, but Marshall, he could have just said, look, the pieces didn't fit.
He did say that.
No, without saying the we didn't have piece. Any bad
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, right.
Right? Like, that's the only part of the comment that bugged me. That's what I'm getting at, is that he could have said the same message, because he doesn't want to throw guys under the bus. I'll grant you that.
No.
I think that's exactly right. It's not his style.
No,
honestly, it's tactless anyway.
They knife guys in the back via, you know, anonymously with stories. They don't do it in front of a microphone.
They do it the old-fashioned.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I mean, let's go ahead and say, for instance, you had a guy who hosted a talk show, and then you needed to put a new guy with him, and those two guys didn't see eye to eye. That doesn't mean anything that one host might have said that during the period of time when he wasn't getting along with the other guy made him a bad guy. It just was a bad fit. And once those two people were apart from each other, maybe everyone got along better. That's all I'm saying.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Hmm. I'm trying to think of whether or not that applies to me, but I don't think it does. It's just my two cents.
I think it might apply to past incarnations of the night program.
I think it might apply to you. Jordan's in Florida. Jordan, what do you got?
Keith got the hell out. Everything got better.
Jordan, go.
Hey, do you guys think that something happened after Game 1 versus Milwaukee? I mean, obviously one game is a small sample size, but it's frustrating that the Celtics teased us into thinking that they figured it all out because of how well they played in that game. But I think it relates to when Maz was talking about how the six-hour West Coast play wasn't enough time to fix a year-long problem, and so maybe that one playoff game wasn't enough time either.
So, Jordan, I'll tell you what happened. What I think happened, okay? The Bucks woke up. The Bucks woke up and said, oh, these guys came to play. We better actually crank it up a little bit. And they blew doors, and then they went to Boston. The Celtics also shut it down in game two of that series, if you remember.
Yep. Yeah,
they seemed content to come home
we
after.
We already got our split.
Yeah, we got our one. We're going to go home and win.
And I admittedly bought into that. I'm like, yeah, they already went to Milwaukee and won their game. I bought into that after they lost game two. So shame on me as well, but I did the same thing.
But I didn't think they'd come home and lose both. And you know what the bottom line is? You know what happened? The same thing that happened all year long. That when somebody actually challenged the Celtics and created a little adversity for them, you know what the Celtics did? They imploded. They pointed fingers at one another. They completely caved, and they didn't compete because they weren't unified. There were fractures up and down the roster, all over the place. And so what happens when you have fractures and someone puts pressure on you? You collapse. You crack. That's what happened. Bruce is in Wethersfield. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, Maz, I think the Celtics should redistribute their scoring. Kemba from 27 to 20, force feed Brown and Tatum to 20-plus points each, and use Kanter for balance and scoring droughts. What do you think?
Okay, so I think his whole approach, Pac-Man, is that the ball needs to move more, and, you know, they're going to have to play a quote-unquote team game, which I would say is akin to what they did the year before.
Yeah.
True or false?
Well, I think it's true. The question is Kemba the guy to do it? So, like, you hear all these things. Kemba's a great teammate. Kemba's unselfish. Kemba just wants to win.
Winner.
He's a total. Technically, he was winning like 33 games a year in Charlotte. So, I guess he was winning some games here and there. He's been to the playoffs twice. He's won playoff games in a season once in his career. He's never gotten out of the first round.
Winner.
But he wasn't surrounded by a lot of talent. I'd acknowledge all that. He's got to change the way he played in Charlotte. Maybe he naturally will because there's more talent around him. Maybe he kind of got used to playing a certain way. He pounds the basketball and dominates the basketball more than Kyrie did last year. Now, again, Kyrie had better guys around him. Maybe he won't do that here. But the guy who needs to change is Kemba coming in here. Because if he plays the way he did in Charlotte, you're going to have all the same problems.
Do you have concerns about his willingness to buy in?
I don't think so. But I didn't really have a lot of issues with Kyrie's attitude before he got here either. You know, I was like, oh, Kyrie's saying all the right stuff. So I think that's easy to do before you've played any games until you've gotten a locker room with anyone. Kemba's saying all the right stuff. Everyone's saying all the right stuff about him. There was a lot of that with Kyrie, too.
And then Marshall wants to yell at you again.
Is the teams crap on the people on the way out. You like to crap on them on the way in.
Yes,
you
exactly.
like to get them right when they come
no,
in.
No.
Crap on them before they even get here.
Jones likes to crap on them all the time.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, when they get here, you crap on them. When they leave, you defend them. That's the way to work.
I'm learning. Yep, taking notes over
that's
here
the right
on
approach.
How exactly to do this.
So, obviously. Look, I've actually said this whole idea that Kemba Walker is some sort of great winner, I'm with you on. I don't know where that's coming from.
Except I don't hear anyone say that.
I've heard a lot of people say it.
He said it.
Okay.
In his Players Tribune story, he referred to himself as a winner. which I laughed at.
Did he win at UConn?
Yes, he did. He did win at UConn, which I don't think matters.
I don't think that counts.
No, that should not count. So he's made the playoffs twice in his career. He's missed the playoffs a bunch. And a lot of people say there's no talent around him. Vucevic didn't have a lot of talent around him last year in Orlando. It ain't that hard to make the playoffs in the East. D'Angelo Russell didn't have all that much talent around him last year in Brooklyn. He found a way to make the playoffs. How come Kemba can't figure out a way to sneak into the playoffs in the East? You got to win like 40 games. So that I don't defend him on that. He may be a winner eventually here in Boston, but to say he's been a winner is just patently false.
The other thing is, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think I might actually be on the same page as you. Yeah. It's kind of scary, actually.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being pulled to the dark side.
I can almost
side.
Guarantee you whatever you're going to say, then I'm going to disagree with. But go ahead.
But this idea that Kemba Walker will come in and the chemistry will improve overnight, how do we know?
Yeah, how do we know?
We don't know yet.
No,
he's
don't.
A winner, Tony, and a leader.
But the idea that he's a team guy, all the stuff I've read, I believe, but you still don't know until he actually gets here and does it.
Right.
Nobody... I mean, he can't be worse than last guy, though, right?
Well,
I mean, look where you're starting from in terms of team chemistry. To say it will improve, yeah, I don't think you really have to do much to do that.
Fair point.
When you put it that way, Marshall, when it comes to being a PUD, Kyrie is kind of special.
Yeah.
He's a unique talent. He was special. Marshall's get your headlines, and then the Bruins. I think Marshall's even going to tell you this. The Bruins came to contract terms with one of their players. Huh. We'll discuss that deal when we come back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Heinen over to the near side. Marchand, right circle. Bergeron shot it, and that floater comes in on Delia. They score! Delia had a hard time handling that knuckleball.
Here from Danton Heinen in front of the net. Heinen's going to be first on it, and he's going to turn and fire a quick pass back to the direction he just came from, right onto the stick. Brad Marchand in tight. It's a quick little one-timer for Marchand.
Why did they love Heinen so much?
I don't know. They do, though.
They love Heinen. God, that's all they talk about Heinen all the time. It drives me crazy. I'm so sick of Danton Heinen. Good job, Jimmy. I don't remember that. That kind of takes a surprise out of how I feel about this contract extension, then, doesn't it? Talk about letting the rabbit out of the hat. Wow. Danton Heinen, the quiet one. Shh. Quiet. Pay attention. We're about to talk about Danton Heinen. 2 years, $5.6 million. Okay, before I get to how I feel about this, Jones, you tell me, how do you feel about the contract?
I think it's fine. Like, I'm not, like, doing cartwheels over it or anything like that, but I think he was getting projected to get, like, $3 million plus, and he got less than that. So, I don't know, 2 years ago, he was almost a 50-point player. Last year, he came down to earth. if you care about, you know, any advanced metrics and possession numbers and things like that, he's been good. Some of that depends on who he plays with. I understand all that. He's young. He's 24. And we're not talking about huge money. So I don't know. I think it's fine. I don't think it's like a great deal or a steal or anything like that. But unless it causes you to lose McAvoy or something like that, then I'll come back and second guess it, I guess. But I don't have a big problem with this deal. I think it's actually lower than I expected it to be.
See, you know, I don't get to work with Marshall a lot. You know what I've noticed? Like, typically, when you're doing, like, you make eye contact, you know, you can sort of tell when someone has something to say.
Yep.
With Marshall, the light goes on. That's
it. Marshall, you're right.
The no contact, like, light goes on.
Yeah,
that's true.
Marshall's not even looking at you. He's got his glasses hanging over the edge of his nose.
The man's got headlines to write. He's got other things going on, so maybe he's into his script. But the light came on over there. But
Tony, don't you remember this is where the whole Felger screaming, "Hulk, your light's on, go!"
Right.
You know what? Now that you mention that, you do refresh my memory. Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's true that is what the genesis of that was. But I'm talking to Jones. I'm looking at Jones. Jones is saying, "Oh, he's fine with the Heinen contract," which I find, frankly, stunning because Jones hates everything.
I don't hate everything.
But that aside, I'm looking, and all of a sudden, in the corner of my right eye, I see this little pink light pop up. And I say, "Marshall's got something to say.
Hulk, your light's on. Go.
Go."
Okay, Marshall, what is it? You clearly have an issue with the Danton Heinen deal.
I don't whatsoever. I have no issue with it at all. And in fact,
turned his light off. He's good.
Jimmy turned your mic off during that whole thing, actually. Yep. So you'll have to repeat what you just said.
Your light's on.
Yeah, my light is still on.
My light is on
for me to say I don't have anything to say. It's a fine deal, and I think the Bruins are continuing to try to, you know, deal within the hole they dug themselves in where they can't sign anybody.
Okay, so as usual, I shouldn't say as usual, but as is frequently the case, this is probably more about me than it is about the actual player. I don't think Danton Heinen completely blows, but I don't understand what the appeal is. I don't get it. And when I saw Danton Heinen $2.8 million, you know what I thought?
What?
$1.4 million per year. I'm not joking. Like, I saw that one up.
Oh, you thought it was the total?
Yeah. I thought 2 years, $2.8 million, $1.4 million per year. Well, that's pretty good. Good for the Bruins. They keep it in that range. That's about right for that guy. That's what he's worth. Then I saw that it was 2 years, $5.6 million, and that it was actually just under $3 million a year. And again, you've pointed out, Jones, that he would have gotten over three. The projections were.
I mean, that's what I thought I remembered reading. Maybe I'm off on that, but I thought I remembered him being projected, you know, three and change. So this seems under that number.
Am I the only one that thinks that this is like way too much money for this guy? And when I say way too much, I'm not saying like he's being paid $4 million and he's $1 million player. I'm saying I had him pegged like under two. I'm 1.5 to 2 million tops.
I mean,
and the Bruins are up against it, so every $1,000 counts. There are 2.8 on Danton Heinen. Tell me, what does he do well?
Well, again, last year, not much. 2 years ago, he had 47 points as a 21-year-old or whatever, 22-year-old. So I don't know. Maybe they just think there's more there. Maybe they think that last year was a growth year and there will be more out of him. I don't know. Is that so crazy?
He back checks. That's what he does. He back checks. Well,
I don't
know. He gets his ass back on D.
Again, so last year he back checked. There wasn't a lot of scoring. I'll grant you that. 2 years ago, 16 goals, 47 points. That's not so bad for a guy who can spot on your top six and mostly play like a third line role. That's pretty good.
Spot on your top six?
Yeah.
Holy crap. 33 career games in the playoffs. How many points he has?
Can't be many.
Guess.
How many games?
33.
Eight.
Nine. Nine.
Yes.
Nine points in 33 career playoff games.
I knew where it was going.
Nine.
Yeah.
9 points. In fact, 40 shots in 33 career playoff games.
Lower than you'd like.
40. He gets one a game.
I'll tell you what. I didn't really initially have too big of an issue with this, but Charlie Coyle makes 3.2. He should definitely be making less than Charlie Coyle.
Charlie Coyle's a way better player than Danton Heinen.
I'm trying to help your case here. Sean Corrali makes 1.3. He probably shouldn't be making too much more than Sean Corrali. Fair point. Let's see. He makes more now than Chara, and I know Chara's deal's kind of convoluted. He makes more than Kevin Miller, which I think is one of the names you probably end up moving out to keep your other guys. But you're right. If this means they lose McAvoy or Carlo, then I'll come back and second guess it. In the meantime, I don't hate it.
I mean, I would like someone, seriously, someone who is deep into hockey to explain to me how Danton Heinen's worth basically $3 million bucks a year. $3 million bucks a year. Danton Heinen. Did Jones just spot him in the top six?
I said he can, I said he can spot in your top six. He'll mostly play a third line role.
Holy crap.
Did he or did he not play with Bergeron and Marchand last year?
Anybody can play with Bergeron and Marchand.
Well, that's spotting on your top six. That's all I'm saying. He can spot there if you need him in a pinch. In other words, he can move around your lineup. There's some value in that.
But then anybody can play in the top six.
No.
You put Corrali up there. Nope, he'll score.
Not everybody is fit with Bergeron and Marchand. Brett Conley sucked up there with those two.
I don't like the Heinen deal. I don't like it.
You were very unclear on that. Thank you for making that clear.
I don't like the deal for the quiet one. Brandon's in Brighton. Brandon, go.
Hold on. All right. Thank you for taking my phone call. So, I mean, I have a little issue with you guys. Everybody keeps on doubting the Celtics. You haven't even watched me play yet. I think they made good moves. Horford's gone. He's got a
You haven't seen them play yet either, and you're optimistic. Why are you allowed to be optimistic when you haven't seen them, but you can't be negative when you haven't seen them?
I put him on hold because he wouldn't stop talking. So good question. Ask him again.
Yeah. So, Brandon, how come you can be? You haven't seen the team either. You're optimistic. You're allowed to be optimistic. Why can't we be negative without seeing them? Like, neither of us have seen them.
Well, I'm not with the negativity. The negativity is actually out that locker. You don't have Kyrie there no more. You don't have Al Horford. You know, I mean, great. He does a lot of good things, I guess. I mean, you can find that in anybody. What, a pick and roll, pick and pop, shoot the three. There's guys that could do that. You can replace him. And then everybody's talking about Taco Fultz. Don't you need a guy like that?
No.
He can plug up the center. You're going against the Lopez brothers. You're going to need left to alter shots. He's your guy.
Yeah, you know where one of the Lopez's plays out on the three-point line? He's not going to be altering any shots standing under the basket while guys are out there shooting three-pointers. Don't get me started on Taco Fall.
No, go. I want to hear on Taco Fall. Go.
I think if Taco Fall makes the Celtics, then they're just more about being a three-ring circus and more about being a clown show than they are an actual basketball team. Then they're more about being, you know, the sideshow and getting people to show up and watch, and they care about ratings and selling tickets and actually winning basketball games. If you're putting a 7'7" player who can't move on the court, you don't care about winning. You just care about people showing up to his autograph session and the social media buzz and the little taco emojis that they can use with all their tweets. Instead of signing the equivalent of the bearded lady, like, you know, the sideshow at the circus, you should be signing guys who can actually play. So Taco Fall, is he going to be on the Celtics next year? I hope not. If he is, that's an awful sign because they don't care about the game. They care about social media buzz, or they care about TV ratings, or they care about the cool name, or that he's 7'7", but he can't actually play basketball. And so many idiots think that Taco Fall all of a sudden is going to be like the magic elixir for everything that the Celtics have figured out. Danny Ainge now has solved it. The whole league passed on drafting him, but Danny Ainge figured out that a 7'7 guy can play. Even though he can't move, he's a 7'7 statue who's going to stand under the hoop, which is exactly what he did at UCF. He now is going to play with the Lopez brothers, at least Brooke, who plays out on the perimeter. How's he going to guard him? All he does is stand under the hoop and do this. That's it. He can't play out on the perimeter. He can't play in today's NBA.
Circus act.
Yeah, he can barely play in summer league. Now he's hanging with Brooke Lopez out on the perimeter, and I don't even like Brooke Lopez. I think Brooke Lopez kind of sucks, and he couldn't hang with Brooke Lopez.
I think it's the basketball equivalent of that insurance commercial where they put the walrus in the goal,
yes,
and nobody can score. Exactly. He's basically the basketball version of a walrus in the
goal. Come out and see the giant freak show. He's under the hoop. Come out and see the bearded lady. Like, that's what we're going to be doing. That's your team. If he makes the team, that's what you're doing.
My in-depth analysis of Taco Fall is, I don't know. Everyone passed on him at least twice. I don't think he's that good.
The Celtics passed on him four times.
Yeah.
Almost five. They traded away another pick. The Celtics passed on him four times.
I like that circus act. That's a good one. Yeah. Jimmy, we should have Taco Fall on the show. He can squeeze my ass and guess my weight. Circus act. I do. I like it.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you might as well, like,
can he tame the lion?
Yeah. Right. What was the thing in Times Square that just happened? They had the people walking the tightrope, like above Times Square.
Oh, yeah.
Square?
The Walendas. Yeah.
Yeah. Flying Walendas. Yeah. He might as well be an honorary flying Walenda. That's what he is. That's what the Celtics are now. Enes Kanter. You seen Enes Kanter's cheat days? Enes Kanter legitimately eating garbage, like eating trash, and now you have the giant 7'7", you know, sideshow. That's your 2019 Celtics. That's a good team.
Can he do the swinging bars?
So who did he play for again in college, Taco?
Central Florida, and everybody loves him because they did play well against Duke in the tournament.
Right. In fact, they almost upset Duke.
Yeah, where he stood under the hoop and they stood back in a zone because Duke can't shoot. No one on Duke could shoot. So that was a good fit and a good matchup, and he played well in that game. I grant all of that. He's not going to fit in today's NBA.
I'm willing to bet the NBA teams are better than Duke.
He can't move. That seems like a problem.
I mean, I'll tell you, I was watching some of the highlights of him from the summer league. I just got to get this off my chest. You'll have to indulge me here for a minute. And the whole idea, like, he doesn't have to leave the ground to dunk. Have you seen this? Is he 7'7 or 7'6?
It's one or the other. I've seen both.
I mean, seriously, he does not have to jump to dunk. Like, he just...
No, his vert is like 2 inches.
I mean, he just gets up on his toes and dunks.
Yeah.
And I saw some interview he did with some clown at NBA.com or NBA TV.
Yep.
Have you seen this?
Yes,
you sent it along too.
Yeah.
So are they trying to teach him how to shoot threes?
I mean, I hope not. I have no idea.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
So he played 17 minutes last night, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Did he play that many?
4 points, 4 rebounds, and a block in 17 minutes,
yeah.
Summer League?
Yeah, he stinks.
It doesn't concern you?
No, I think Jones is right.
It concerns me, yes. Apparently it doesn't concern other people. It concerns me, yes.
It is kind of a freak show thing with him because he's just, you know, again, 7'7". It's like, when do you see that? It's a rarity.
How many rebounds do you think a 7'7 guy should average a game?
12.
15 minimum.
At Central Florida, too. Like, you know, not exactly the highest level. What was your number?
15.
15, what was 12. Your number? 7.5 for his career. 7'7". His height. He averages height in rebounds, 7.7. He does have a bunch of blocks in college, 2.5 a game. I think he has one block. People are like, oh, he's such a rim protector. He's blocking everything. No, he's not. I think he has one block. I think he has one block individually in each of their 3 summer league games.
Well, Jones, the league is different. It's more about the 3-point shots. Yeah, no, they don't come near him because they know better.
Yeah. What was the old buzzword? Pace and space? He fits neither of these two things.
And
he is neither pace nor space.
The lead headline on Google about him?
Yeah.
Celtics Taco Fall forgets to take off warm-up in hilarious summer league moment. So he's a clown.
He's a clown.
Oh, classic.
Yeah.
Look, I'll tell you what. If they're not going to win a championship, I'm with Jimmy. I'm in too. Give me the freak show. Seriously, give me the freak show. I'll take the circus act. I need someone to entertain me at the Garden this year.
No, the bearded lady and the garbage eater on the team next year. That's a good team.
617-779-0985. We'll zip through your calls next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Felger and Mavs.
I love it.
You were right, Mavs.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
We've done a lot of basketball and hockey here in the last hour. Some interesting comments from Brad Stevens on Kyrie Irving and Al Horford. Dan Heinen's new contract. We'll take your calls on those and then reset top of the hour. Bill's in Maine. Bill, what do you got?
Yeah, I read an article in the NHL Insider. Them paying Dante Heinen that money, he's going to be one of the forwards that's going to be left unprotected for the expansion draft. So they're hoping maybe they'll get rid of him that way. And they made him more appetizing by giving him that money. That's what I read anyways.
Okay, so when is the expansion draft? Is that after next season?
I think it's next year, right?
In other words, next summer or 2 summers?
I think it's next summer, but perhaps I'm wrong.
And that would be for the Seattle team.
Yep, and he would have the 1 year at 2.8 remaining, I guess, is what the caller is driving at.
Okay, so look, again, I don't understand the expansion ramifications of it, and I don't know if that's a factor or not. I still think they're overpaying
2021.
Okay.
Was that
June 2021?
Okay, so it's so 2 years.
That
out.
Is 2 years.
So he'll be a free agent.
So that doesn't even work for his contract.
Yeah, I just look at the whole. I'm going to evaluate it on the deal and the value of the player as of right now. Okay, I don't understand all the roster machinations of it and everything else. I'm telling you that when I initially saw it, I thought it was $1.5 million a year. It tells you how stupid I am. Like I thought it was 2 years for 2.8. I went, ooh, that's not bad. I'd take Heinen for that. Then I heard it was double that. It was actually 2 years, 5.6, and it was 2.8 per year.
Did you hate Heinen 2 years ago, or did you just hate him last year?
No, last year.
Okay, so if he gets back to the production he had 2 years ago, if last year was just an adjustment year after a bit of a down season, you're not going to hate the contract, right?
Okay, but again, I will tell you, did he have impact the year before?
No, but he's a depth guy. And a depth guy scoring 40-plus points, making $3 million a year, not even $3 million a year, I don't think that's a bad deal.
Feels like a lot. It does. It feels like a lot. For me, again, for the player, it does.
I mean, if he's doing what he did last year, it's a lot. If he's doing what he did 2 years ago, I don't think that's a bad deal. I'm not saying it's a home run or a steal or anything, but that's about right.
The bottom line is I don't love the player. I don't know what does he do? What does he do? Can he handle the pace and the size of playoff hockey? Because I don't think he can. Like, I look at it, 33 playoff games, 9 points. And look, maybe this is Sweeney to a fault. Sweeney has said, we're going to be patient with our players. We're not going to give players to other organizations and let them go do well elsewhere. We're tired of doing that. So good for him for sort of staying true to his mantra.
But that really isn't true because they traded away Donato. They got back another young player, but like they haven't stuck by all their young
guys.
Okay,
but the point is, in the case of Donato, at least you said they dealt from a position of depth. They had a lot of bodies there.
Yeah.
Right? So you can't keep all your prospects either. I don't... You know,
But that would fit into the narrative to let Heinen. If you can't keep everyone, that would fit into the narrative of letting Heinen walk, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but you did just trade away one. Like, you're missing my point. What I'm telling you is that I understand he wants to be patient with players. I just think on this one, he's making a mistake. I don't know if this guy's worth being patient over. I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't get the whole Danton Heinen thing. I don't see the unique talent there. I don't see, like, elite skating. I don't see elite physicality. I don't see strong on the puck. I don't see, you know, hands. Maybe he does a little bit of everything, but that means, to me, sort of makes you a jack of all trades, master or none. What is he good at?
Well, I don't, but
or is he just average?
Well, he's just average. What are most of your third liners good at?
But I think maybe you can get away with paying some of those guys less.
Okay. I mean, again, he makes a little less than Coyle. So, I mean, he has to up the production, but that's what Coyle is, right? Coyle's a third-line guy. He makes 3-2. This guy should be a third-line guy. He's making 2-8.
Boy, it's a dark day on this show, Jimmy, when Adam Jones is telling me to be more positive.
I've actually defended a lot of Sweeney's contracts with his own guys. I think he's done well with most of his own guys. Marchand's a good contract. Krug's a good contract. Pastrnak's a really good contract. Like, he's done pretty well with most of his own guys. It's the outside guys he has a problem with. The guys internally, he evaluates okay, I think.
Let me just squeeze in one more call here before we get to headlines. Again, no commercials here, top of the hour. Matt's in Sudbury. Matt, what do you got?
Good afternoon, guys. You were touching upon the ceiling for the Celtics with and without Kyrie. I think the East is wide open now, so I think the ceiling is just as high as it was last year. I think Durant's going to be a non-factor, obviously, with his injury. And even if he does come back, they're going to be bogged down. And I think in a seven-game series, the Celtics should have no issue with the Brooklyn Nets whatsoever. That's all I got.
Okay, Pac-Man, who do you like seven-game series, Celtics and Nets?
I do like the Celtics in that scenario. This year, you know, next year, let's see what Durant comes back as. But, you know, for this year, they're better than the Nets. I don't know that the East is worse. Like, I still don't totally buy Philly, but you're definitely worse than Philly. And you're definitely worse than Milwaukee. And you might be worse. I would take the Celtics, I think, above everyone else in the East right now. But you might be worse than Indiana when Oladipo comes back. You might be worse than Brooklyn. We might be missing someone else who's going to make a leap. Maybe we're underestimating Toronto, though losing Kawhi, I think, is a big factor, obviously. So I think they're the third best team in the East, but I don't know. They might be even lower down than that. And they're clearly not better than those other two teams I mentioned, Philly and Milwaukee. So I don't know. I mean, I guess they're in the second round and probably getting bounced in the second round again. Maybe they're more competitive, but that's probably where they wind up.
Okay, we're in the middle of our longest commercial-free segment here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz. Marshall Hook has your headlines. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers Get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org. Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island. The official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.